This is Mark Mullinax. Thank you for joining this podcast called Power for the Peaceful, which is a long march through the 81 verses of my translation of Tao Te Ching, copyright 2021, from Fortress Press. Today, verse 32, the six-letter F word. Your reading my book is not a prerequisite for this class, but is always appreciated. On that big website that sells everything, my translation has 49 reviews, every one a 5-star appraisal, in case that matters.
When you listen to the ground and you put your roots down, you can hear what she says if you're listening. When you listen to the ground and you put your roots down, you can hear what she says if you're listening. The sweet sound of the river as she moves over the stones. The same song that the blood in your body sings as it weaves around your bones. When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening?
I think it's very useful to know ourselves. But when we start naming and labeling, that is dangerous. That gets problematic. It negates that things are always changing. Besides, it's hard to pin a label onto something that's always moving. Annie DeFranco.
Today's reader is a former student, Darian Smathers. Here is her own self-introduction.
Hi there. My name is Darian Smathers, and I am a religion and philosophy undergraduate student at Marshall University. I work part-time with the Appalachian Barn Alliance, and I do a lot of things in the nonprofit field, and I'm just so excited that Professor Mullinax asked me to be here.
And now let's begin with a reintroduction of what we are doing in this podcast class. From verse 1 all the way through verse 31, which was our last regular episode, we have seen several through-line themes return for second and even third helpings. First, Tao is inscrutable, not located by desires, words, or human egos. It is not alien to humanity or to anything else in the universe for that matter. No, on the contrary, Tao is the operating system of the universe, and everything that's ever been, alive or not, hummed then or now hums with this operating system as its original, basic, creative process. Spontaneous, too. Therefore, there's nothing alien between or among anything in the universe, whether it is the weather on the moon Europa, or the center of the sun, or the squirrel you may hear outside. We are all infused with Tao. And with this permeation of Tao in every single thing, this renders us all as one, whether our egos agree with that or not. Tao's threads, if I may use that word, Tao's threads connect everything with everything, acknowledged or not, conscious or not. While we may sense our being singly conscious, collectively, we are each and all united by Tao's threads. Studying Tao, one realizes one does not need a psychedelic substance to appreciate the oneness of all. Our senses of oneness and unity comes in these slow, spiraling and encircling and never-ending realizations just by living wisely alongside Tao. That said, problems will emerge in humans in ways they don't arise for the non-human. Problems arise for us when in our ego fevers and mental gridlocks, we forget or ignore that we and Tao share the same essence, energy, and process. Now, nearly every faith or spirituality tries to convince its devotees that there is one missing thing to behold. For example, Christianity sometimes tries to make the case that we were born bad, I mean really awfully bad, and one needs a divine fix from outside the natural world, something called salvation. Buddhism makes the case that we are complicit in our own suffering, and seeks to enable each person who would be Buddhist to engage in practices that help one first recognize and then counteract our tendencies to suffer with new practices, both to learn and to relearn how one is complicit in one's suffering, and so on. Taoism's distinctive worldview teaches that humanity's number one issue is that we forget. Forget being our six-letter F word. We forget our original ties with Tao, our original peace, original harmony, original balance. And because we become unable to recall these sufficiently, we settle for second, third, and fourth best. And when we settle, we lower our capacities for peace, harmony, and balance, which leads to even lower capacities for remembering who we are and our harmony and balance and peace.
When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening? When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening?
Another theme we've seen are the practices of remembering who we naturally are. And so we lead with our first best and end our days, D-A-Y-S, and our days, D-A-Z-E, of disremembering. To remember, Taoism offers three practices. First, silence, not words or concepts. Second, the practice of darkness, in which we discover our roots like a seed germinating in the ground. And finally, emptiness, that is, not being full of self or operating from the rather microscopic platform of the ego. From these three life practices, we can more easily see the theme of Wu Wei, or wise action, necessary action, instead of acting out of reaction. The next to last through line we've seen is the primacy of the feminine, that generative, gestating, and generous process in us all, who would rather create instead of reduce the world to ego-fueled competitions, artificial dualities, and hierarchies against each other. And finally, we have seen how water is perhaps our best metaphor or model for understanding and practicing Tao. Water serves from below, naturally adjusts to any situation. Water can be invisible like spirit. Water can flow like every river, and water serves anyone or anything like a rain that falls everywhere without discrimination. These themes have shown up often and will show up again today, maybe in a different constellation though, but we can see again today and remember anew how Tao is not just part and parcel of who we are, it is who we are. Of these themes, I am convinced. Our lives go so much better when we don't forget Tao and then forget that we are forgotten. So let's hear Darian read the verse today.
Verse 32, flow. Nameless Tao always flows. Tao manifests itself subtly and behind the scenes. No one ever masters it. Were rulers able to submit to its potency, their realms would fall into their primordial and natural peace rhythms. They would see heaven and earth partner. The people would experience life as sweet dew falling, because their actions harmonize all together naturally. However, once rules or distinctions start, the naming of things begins. Once the cataloging has begun, who can stop the labeling merry-go-round? Knowing when to stop making distinctions prevents an endless exhaustion. Picture this. Tao to this world is what the ocean is to every flowing droplet of water.
After two verses, 30 and 31, verses about weapons, Lao Tzu returns us to the big picture, Tao and its inscrutability. This verse reminds us that Tao is always, if I may use the term, always at work. I mean this, picture your life. How much is going well, so well that we hardly even notice it? Are you like me and tend to focus way too much and way too often upon the things that go wrong? And this, here at the start of our class today, here is your homework. Maybe you want to turn off your podcast player and just remember and recall all that has gone well today. Friends met, travel safely accomplished, jobs well done, the accessibility of healthy food and clean water we have ingested today. These are miracles, everyone. We don't often just get stopped in our tracks in some moment of awe and wonder and realize how well things actually have gone. Is this all Tao's work? Perhaps. And even in what humans have messed up, Tao can still work with. So our bodies, despite all that bad stuff we may fill it with, are largely self-regulating and self-healing. The food, water, medicine, and air we ingest are taken to our bodies and transformed naturally without our consciously doing a damn thing, transformed into healthy scenarios. Really, if you start to think about it, that things go right is not something we often dwell upon. But I think it'd be great if we did dwell on the miraculous all around us all the time. Because when we do that, we prepare ourselves to see yet more evidence of Tao all around us. Does it sound like I'm saying that Tao is useful? I hope not. Tao is not to be used. It's not useful in an ego-wise sense. Tao does not help one win games, compete with others, bring one people down in order to raise another people up. Tao is there, however, like a magnetic force or a sub-bass sound. You don't use these things. You cooperate with them. You join them, not for ego's sake, but because the universe don't make sense until you see Tao not as something useful to borrow, but as something already part of us. It runs through us like a river runs right through the middle of a land. Just look at the first three words of our verse. Nameless Tao flows. What happens then when we start seeing ourselves as Tao infused, operating like flowing water, and remembering our place in the order of things?
In one drop of water are found all the secrets of all the oceans. In one aspect of you are found all the aspects of existence. Khalil Gibran.
Verse 32 starts with a reminder from the very first verse of Tao Te Ching. Tao has no name, no title. No word does justice to catalog or to categorize Tao. Tao is the way the universe's virtue operates, and that's all. Lao Tzu has chosen the term Tao for the great mystery he discusses, but he hurries to add that a name is just a sound and not the thing named, not even an adequate description of it. You see, we have this tendency to name things, catalog them, and thereby start our charades that we actually understand, and we start our pretenses that we can actually control things by naming. These are habits that, once begun, are hard to stop, precisely because the habits become so normalized. We risk the constant danger of what my friend Quinn says is the entanglement of creation with the self. Like everyone else, we assign names to try to understand and to control things, much like some people pray to God, to manipulate God, to do special favors just for them. So we confuse true knowledge with control. But not today, not here, please. Tao does not answer to this call and response. One doesn't pray or talk to Tao so much as one listens. To respect Tao is always to listen or to look for evidence of Tao, not evidence of oneself or ego. You can do this right where you are, right now. Tao may be right under your nose. So as our verse says,
Tao manifests itself subtly and behind the scenes. No one ever masters it. Were rulers able to submit to its potency, their realms would fall into their primordial and natural peace rhythms. They would see heaven and earth partner. The people would experience life as sweet dew falling, because their actions harmonize all together naturally.
This is a powerful challenge to us who practice that rather flimsy mindset that we can actually understand the universe. We who send vehicles to the moon and beyond. We who build big metal transports that fly dozens of times faster than birds. We who spend our treasure to cure deadly diseases, but also spend more treasure to invent new ways of killing more effectively than the diseases ever could. Our science allows us to make and to build things and do things that folks 75 years ago would consider magic. But it doesn't mean we understand the universe and our place in it any more profoundly. Leo Tolstoy said, and he's right, human science fragments everything in order to understand it, kills everything in order to examine it. Exhibit A. I live with my partner. We've been together a long time, but to say that I understand my partner and their ways is a big fat lie. But this is not a failure. No, this reticence or hesitance to say I know my partner, to catalog and name their behaviors, or that I can predict what they'll do, is each and everyone just total BS. But to hesitate and say that we will never understand our partner, that's pure wisdom. Hashtag Wu Wei. Because understanding and control are not our main jobs. Instead, our main task is to stop thinking, to stop the understanding and meaning assignment merry-go-round. Just live with letting things be and let go of trying to gather knowledge in order to manipulate or to control. When we get off that meaning-making treadmill, when we let go of control, we start to remember. Remember is the opposite of our six-letter word, forget. Remember our connections. Remember our communion with all. These are primary practices to listen out for and discern Tao at work.
Overthinking, overanalyzing separates the body from the mind, withering my intuition, missing opportunities. Overthinking, overanalyzing separates the body from the mind, withering my intuition, leaving opportunities behind. Tool from the song Lateralis.
Verse 32 implies a lot of practices to reframe things. Our tasks and Tao are to open up opportunities for communion and seeing all as one. Not to control, but to see in everything a part of ourself. This takes discipline. Discipline practice to see things as they are. Discipline practice to fall sway into Tao's primordial and natural peace rhythms. The way to change the world is to stop fixating on it. Stay curious. Use care when submerging your ego into solutions. Rest. Become simple, which is not just simply done, for becoming simple is a practice too. Be patient for a change. Inactivity is a practice. The goal of such practices is to recognize yet again the universe dwelling already in us, a recognition largely absent in our usual habits of non-stop thinking and naming and seeking control. What is spontaneous simplicity? Is the Tao, the way to live.
To discover the Tao, nothing is better than embracing simplicity. Wang Bi.
Simple is how water works. Today's verse ends with a beautiful image of water, reminding me of verse 66's first two sentences about the greatness of simplicity as demonstrated by water. It reads, consider how lakes and oceans enlarge, because they, being the lowest, welcome every stream and river. Naturally, being the lowest is what makes them greatest. A lake or ocean naturally lies low in the world, but receives everything. Like a stream or river flow, water will cut a new path when meeting an obstacle. So be like water.
Water is the most perfect traveler, because when it travels, it becomes the path itself. Mehmet Merat Ildan.
So this river, the river of Tao, runs right through us. And this is the climax of the verse, its final line. The word picture Lao Tzu makes in the very last line is a great send-off, a great comfort to me. See Tao as the source of all things, like the lowest bodies of water, the ocean, or the Dead Sea, not just as our source, but the returning place for all things. All things emerge out of Tao and return there. And this is what we've already seen very well in verse 16, where we read, notice how the 10,000 things arise, but how also each returns to its root. This return to root is a start, finish, and fruit of tranquility. It's the why of Tao, the purpose of eternity. So have this permeate your mind and become enlightened, but stay ignorant, and one's future is chaos and disaster. So how to practice this? John Muir's advice is a good place to start. Muir wrote, as long as I live, I'll hear waterfalls and birds and winds sing. I'll interpret the rocks, learn the language of flood, storm, and the avalanche. I'll acquaint myself with the glaciers and wild gardens and get as near the heart of the world as I can. So each of our moments presents us with a simple choice. One can either hold fast to the way or not. Lose this first truth about who we are, and we come to hold fast not to the way of the universe's virtue, but to my own small expectations and ideals, which are exactly sized to the size of my ego. Tao always remains both simple and nameless. Were we able to grasp it, to submit to its reality, the world would definitely be better. Tao is whole, undifferentiated, single, spread throughout every atom of the universe. But once we humans start dividing the whole into this part and that part, naming them and cross-filing them and cross-referencing them, we confuse parts as separate things. Losing our single Tao focus, we settle for second-best insight. And we start to judge everything on its similarity with us, like on how conscious something is, for example. We anthropomorphize things, and so we miss the experience because they're so full of criticism and our own thoughts. To miss and to lean into our own understandings, all full of criticism and small thinking, is to lean simultaneously into forgetfulness, that six-letter word. Instead, there's a single process that pre-exists us, maybe even pre-existing the universe. This process generated us, evolved us, and yet we still somehow see ourselves as strangers and alien to this process, even forgetful of it. Forgetful that we've even forgotten, which makes our present-day sense of being aligned with Tao seem highly improbable. But please do not despair. Tao is our real home. All we are today is 100% based on inscrutable processes we have perhaps forgotten. But off we go into the world sometimes, willy-nilly, egos in charge, full steam ahead, and think, so this is how to negotiate the world and get my share of it. But such is not our destiny. We can remember. The world is not something to negotiate, to name, to control, but to join. It's simple. We share in Tao. Our ego can never negotiate the true processes of the universe. Ego arises only in the forgetting of these processes. So Tao is a nameless, eternal force, which is a necessary contrast to the named and therefore diminished and transient aspects of life. Remember verse 25? Know your interconnections. Human beings come from Earth. Earth's patterns entwine with heavens. Heaven roots and Tao. Tao's blueprint is nature itself. Get this, my dear class, and you're close to today's verse.
When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening? When you're listening, when you're listening, Are you listening?
Let's conclude. Tao is ineffable. The only way to understand the way is to practice being desireless or egoless about what Tao is, to forget trying to manipulate Tao's power for peace. Today's verse encourages us to look beyond the surface manifestations and catalogings of the world and ever seek a deeper connection, the kind that every droplet of water has with all water, with the source of all existence. Instead of trying and struggling to understand or to control things for which we're not made, let's instead practice perception regarding the patterns and pointers supplied in nature. This is where we find out who we are. Even though the essence of Tao may remain a mystery, we can follow its path, feel its rhythms, and when we do, the world is gentler, less harsh, more peaceful, and with enough so all may prosper. We'll get to Darian's question in just a few seconds, but first, our last quote read by her. It's by the group known as Tool and their song Lateralis.
I embrace my desire to feel the rhythm, to feel connected, enough to step aside and weep like a widow, to feel inspired, to fathom the power, to witness the beauty, to bathe in the fountain, to swing on the spiral, to swing on the spiral, to swing on the spiral of our divinity, and still be a human.
Now to Darian's question, which resulted in what I think was a great conversation.
My question for you is, what do we lose in the process of naming, and what could there be to gain?
What could we lose in the process of naming? Oh, basically everything. For example, when we think we have a concept for the word like God, then we think that there's only one way to name God, one way to think about God, one way to be in relationship with God, when there may be a million different ways. But we localize, we focus on the one way, and that one way then becomes the frickin' orthodoxy that you have to measure yourself by, whether you lose a job by that or not. So it's all this orthodoxy that gets put into play by naming. It's coming up on October 31st, right? It's going to be Halloween time. So, readers, what are you going to dress up as? You're probably going to dress up as something that you feel is within your capabilities or powers. Like, I would never dress up as a Sleeping Beauty or a fairy, okay? I'd be something more heroic, manly, something like, because that's more in my nature. The thinking here is that you can be almost anything. But when we localize one name for it, one idea, when that one idea becomes the only idea permissible, then you start a whole raft of harm. So what's that quote? Nothing is more dangerous than an idea when it's the only one you have.
Yeah.
Okay. So that to me is where the harm begins in naming something. We think we got a handle on somebody, but you don't. It's all slippery stuff, linguistic slipperiness, okay?
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I don't know. I just think that there might be a value in, on a very basic level, giving some things names just for the sake of accessibility. And I think beyond that, we do get into a bit of trouble, but I think that we should keep in mind that there's a value in naming until we understand it to be unnameable.
What if you come home from the hospital with your baby and don't give it a name for a while, and you let the name emerge rather than impose?
Right.
Okay. To impose something from the very beginning, I think, crowds out a lot of options or opportunities that you may think more about the baby. Now, that's heresy, I know, and we do name things like we name our children, we name our pets, we name our cars, and it helps. But does the name really capture all of it? And the second commandment given to the Israelites on Mount Sinai, do not provide a graven image for God. That is, to have one image that then becomes the end-all and be-all. And words can be a graven image. We can worship those words as if they are so all-important. I remember back when I was growing up as a Christian, three words had to come at the end of every prayer. In Jesus' name, or else it was not a Christian prayer. Is that like saying abracadabra? So I think there's some dangers in that. Mm. Yeah, I name my pets. I name my kids. Kid. But the danger is that we miss something. We lose a part of the full-throated range of who they are and who they can be. So I don't know. Have I been too overpowering? Probably so. What do you think?
I think I understand where you're coming from. I just think it's a really interesting idea that we are limiting ourselves by the words that we have. Mm-hmm. And we see that in other ways too. I mean, I don't speak any other language than English, and there are so many feelings and emotions and phrases that I will miss because I don't know anything else. Yeah. And it's I see where you're coming from.
Yeah. Have you ever had an experience one way or the other to either support what you asked or maybe support what I said? Have you ever had an experience? I mean, did you ever come to know somebody by one name or one idea, and then you came to this, oh my gosh, moment? That was very limiting. I had to change things up.
Yeah. I think that I got to know a dear friend of mine in maybe not a name, but a context that I had to strip away from them when we both got out of that context. We both came here to get our education at Mars Hill University, and that limiting factor of where we came from could have been so damaging for them. And being able to let that go allowed for them to have so many more opportunities.
Yeah. Naming is good, but I think, as you're saying, to let things go, when we hold on to things, when we grasp things and say, that's the only way that we can then be in relationship, that I think gets damaging.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't provide the full spectrum of color. In other words, we may see a gray, drab world, when if we just change our names for something, we might see a whole big technicolor, you know, more sonic understanding of how things are.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. A good friend of mine, Stephanie McCleskey, said to me recently that the reason that we meditate open-palmed is so that we can receive whatever we need.
Yeah. How do we do? What do you think?
I think we did well.
All right.
I think we did well. What do you think?
I think we're ready to cut the microphone. But thank you so much. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And providing your voice, providing your insight, and this great question. Thank you so much.
This podcast is an original labor of love designed, written, and co-produced by many whose central idea is that Tao Te Ching text and Taoist practices are good news for today. Tao still speaks. Thank you, Darian Smathers, for your voice and the time to talk about your question. Thank you, Audrey Davis, for your art. Thank you, Molly Hartwell, for your singing. Fortress Press holds the copyright for any use of my Tao Te Ching translation. Thank you for you being you and you being here. May your days begin in peace and become laboratories for the wisdom needed for these days.
Are you listening?